Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm Attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. A woman in Kentucky was arrested on Sunday after driving drunk with her son in the car to teach him a lesson. Yeah, her name is Sunita. She's 48 years old. And Sunita was charged with drunk driving and endangering a minor.
Yeah.
She told the police she drank a bunch of beer and got in her car to drive in order to teach her son a letter. She also told police that she'd been drinking all day before getting in the car.
So what's the lesson? That you have the worst mom ever?
Yeah, she admitted she was driving at up to 150 miles per hour. And according to records, when they arrested her, her blood alcohol content was twice the legal limit. Sunita's son reportedly told officers that he tried to get out of the car several times, but he couldn't because the door was locked. Wow, which means the kid would have jumped out of the car. I mean, I would imagine.
Oh, my gosh. I'm looking at her mugshot. She's so wasted that she smiled for her mugshot.
Oh, she looks destroyed.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that poor kid. That poor kid's got no chance. He's got no chance. I hope he's got the brains of his father. Because his mother is just a dope.
I just don't get what kind of lesson you're trying to say. I mean, she's drunk. She probably had, there wasn't a lesson.
Yeah. She's 48 years old. It doesn't say how old the kid is. I'll show you something. So I'm going to teach you a lesson. Wow.
He was upset, I guess. He called the police because he was upset because he wasn't allowed to go to a friend's house. Is that the lesson?
The lesson is I'll show you to be upset about not being able to go to a friend's house. Get in the car. I'll drive you.
What the hell?
Yeah, I am lost on the lesson. I wish that she would have told what lesson she was trying to teach him. I would love to have known what she was thinking.
I don't think she had a lesson. I think she was just drunk all day and just trying to come up with any kind of excuse.
That's it, yeah.
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 Yeah, every story says, what lesson exactly? That remains unclear.
Yeah. Gosh. You know, I've talked about it many times on this show over the 20 years I've been doing this here in Seattle, and we have licenses for a lot of things, but not for parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think there should be some kind of test. I really do. I know that you can give. I don't think there's anything wrong with giving birth. Like, I think everybody has a right to give birth, every woman. I don't know if you have a right to be a parent. I mean, because then at that point, that's a new life. And that being should have somebody advocate for them so that they can have a chance to have a nice life.
How about we just have one simple question? It says, when you're trying to teach your kid a lesson, what is your mode? What's your plan of attack?
Yeah, show me your syllabus.
And if she's like, I'm going to plan on getting drunk all day and then getting in the car and driving 150 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Yep, you can't be a parent.
No, I think that's it. Good job. We're going to check you off that particular list.
Come back to us when you have a better answer.
Yeah. Wow. Bryan Cranston, you remember that guy.
Mm-hmm. Walter White.
Also Malcolm's dad. Fan. Yeah. Jeez, look at us. Here's first off. Are we the only ones who remember him as Malcolm's dad? Other people do.
No, I totally do.
Okay, that's you, me, Rev, you. Steve and I are the oldest in the show. Vicky?
Yeah, I used to watch Malcolm.
Okay, good.
When I was
all
a kid.
Right.
Danny.
I never watched it, but I knew, like, I watched Breaking Bad, and I was like, that guy looks familiar. Mm-hmm. And then somebody was like, oh, yeah, he was the dad in Malcolm in the Middle. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but that sounds cool.
I only know the show by name. I never watched the show.
Oh, I actually watched the show.
I heard it was good.
And that's why I was so surprised when Bryan Cranston got the role in Breaking Bad, when they said it's a serious show about a meth guy. And I'm like, Bryan Cranston, the Breaking Bad? What? The Malcolm guy? And he, of course, was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't imagine anyone else being that character.
Yeah. And he recently did an interview and was asked if he would be interested in being part of a Breaking Bad reboot.
I'm not eager to rekindle. Like, if there was talking about rebooting Breaking Bad and, oh my God, Walter White didn't die after all, I wouldn't do it. Because it had, to me, it was such a perfect beginning, middle, and end. And to open that up again, I think, would lessen what we did before. And I don't want it. I want it to be a cherished memory for me and for fans, and allow that to be what it is, and all have us move on.
Would you like to see, like, a movie, maybe? Like, kind of like how Entourage did it? I can understand not doing a full series again, but maybe a movie.
It's the same thing. That, granted, and James Gandolfini's not with us, and I think this is the 20th anniversary of The Sopranos, but it's the same thing. The ending was meant to be what it was, both in the same way, ambiguous. I mean, granted, it looks like, you know, Walter White died.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry. Well, it didn't hurt you. You watched the last episode and didn't watch any of them.
Fair enough.
Went back and binge-watched the whole show. I agree with Brian. I don't know if there's anything you can do that would bring Walter back that wouldn't really cheapen the show. I think it's meant to be that way, which is why I like, Better Call Saul. I know, you know, a lot of people aren't as big of a fan as that as they were Breaking Bad, but I get the Breaking Bad world. Like, I get the flavor of Breaking Bad world, but it doesn't tarnish the legacy that Brian was talking about.
How about we... I'm with him on that. I do agree. Like, you leave it the way it is. I mean, you don't need to come up with the definitive answer of what happened to Walter White. I think we all make our assumptions, and I think most of us are probably thinking that he's just done. But what about, let's follow where Jesse goes? Because, you know, Jesse, at the end,
I like that
jumps
idea.
In a car and just goes.
I like that idea.
It'd be kind of cool to find out, where did he go?
They've done that with
if one episode he crashes into a wall and he's done.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right.
Show's over.
Spoiler alert.
Got McDonald's, crashed into a wall, Jesse's dead.
That way he'd be going out the way Jax did in Sons of Anarchy.
Do you think it would cheapen it if they do continue on with a movie or a show and they have either flashback sequences that we never actually saw in the original series, or even, you know, the stereotypical, oh my God, I'm seeing you even though you're dead, Jesse's haunted by him for the rest of his life?
That's too dumb,
I think.
My opinion. I think that would be way too hokey. The flash stuff I like.
The flashback could be interesting. No doubt about it. The flashbacks could be very, very interesting. Or if he has delusions. Like, instead of the ghost thing, he's just delusional. Like, you know, he hears him talking. You see shows like that where somebody who's not there is talking to them, but really it's their own brain doing it. You know, I could do that. I do like, you know, your idea, Steve, because Sons of Anarchy, of course, everybody loved that show. And like I said, spoiler alert, the way it ended, you can't do any more of it. But they brought, you know, Mayans Motorcycle, MC.
Okay, yeah.
And they were in Sons of Anarchy, but they were actually a really small part. They were in it, but I mean, they weren't the feature. But now it's kind of cool because we get to see what's going on in their world. And it takes place right after Sons of Anarchy ended, pretty much. I mean, maybe X amount of years after. And we still get to see some Sons of Anarchy dudes, or at least the club itself.
Somebody says they're making a Jesse movie. Is that true?
I don't know.
They're doing a Jesse movie right now, dummies.
Really? Well, then why?
It's called Greenbrier.
Really?
I don't know.
I don't know why Brian wouldn't have mentioned that in his interview. Like, say, well, you know what? They're going to do that.
There was an article back in November that they're saying that will supposedly happen. But we haven't heard anything beyond that.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. Yeah, I remember that article, but I haven't heard anything officially greenlit or greenlighted, however they're saying
it. Or greenbriered.
It's saying it'd be a 2-hour follow-up to the series focusing on Jesse Pinkman.
Perfect.
But it has
Greenbrier mean, though?
I have no idea what that means.
Why don't they call Pinkman?
Maybe it's something from the show that you and I both
But there forgot. Hasn't been any articles since November about it.
No,
so
they don't even know if it's going to be in theaters or if it's just going to be an AMC thing.
It's got to be an AMC thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. How many people would go to the theater to see that? I know they try to take TV shows and put them on the big screen. They did it with The X-Files, and it was horrible.
Maybe look at that. The Entourage movie did not do all that well.
No, it would. I think that would have been so much better if they put that on HBO, that Entourage movie. I think a lot more people would have watched it.
And wouldn't have given such a bad review. I think some people didn't like it because it's like, I just paid money to go see a movie that felt like an extended version of the television show. I enjoyed the movie, but it was an extended episode of Entourage.
Yeah, it wasn't movie quality.
Yeah.
It really wasn't.
And I went to a screening, so I didn't have to pay, so I think that also helped.
Yeah. I felt the same way about the X-Files movies. It's like, really? You could have just put this on TV. Come on. Now, is it possible that we have been missing out on a hidden feature of McDonald's French fry boxes for our entire lives?
Oh, here we go.
My mind got blown by the Chinese food box. Remember we all, our mind got blown by that? That it's actually a plate?
Yeah, I still won't use it that way, but it's cool that they do that.
I mean, it's amazing for all that time, none of us knew.
It's like the chopsticks. There's, I think, the bottom end of the chopsticks, I remember seeing.
Yeah, some chopsticks,
it's a stand.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, for crying out loud, I didn't know that either.
You were today years old.
Gosh. Well, all right. How about this? The McDonald's French fry box, which we've known, the iconic red box, somebody posted on Twitter that apparently the cardboard flap on the top of the box has an actual functional purpose. You're supposed to fold it back and use it as a place to put your ketchup.
What? Oh,
wow.
What?
Really?
All this time?
Is that true?
Well, I always wondered why it was shaped that way.
That's kind of neat.
I always thought because it's easier to put the scooper in or to get the fries in.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like it's like this one looks a little more square, so I'm wondering if it's just a regional thing.
Mm. Now, does it already have like a perforated line so it snaps off, or do you have to actually rip it?
That's a really good
question. If you rip it, I'm questioning this.
We need to get some French fries to test this out.
Yes, we do.
Good idea.
Good call. Yep. Okay, so now here's the thing. The internet is saying they don't officially believe this is a McDonald's design.
I like one guy on Twitter goes, if you tear it, bend it, and crimp the edges, a design that surprised even the designer. Yeah, I don't know if this is true.
Well, we don't know. We don't know if it's someone's hack. McDonald's has not weighed in on this, so we don't know. But apparently the trick does really work, which is really awesome. You know, seriously, because when you're riding in the car, yeah, it's tough to do the ketchup thing and the fry thing, but mm-hmm. if you could set it all up that way, and then start riding, and then you just go zing, zing, dip, and you get the fry ketchup.
Zing, zing, dip.
Yeah.
Zing, zing, dip.
It's not like a double doink. It's a zing, zing, dip. Let's not get them confused.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course, I suppose if I really wanted to, I could just go get one of those, go inside, get the ketchup, you know, those cardboard things, just fill a couple of those up with ketchup and place those somewhere in my dash so that I can just dip that way, too.
I'm looking at this Twitter page. It's today years old, and it's basically tries to tell you things that we didn't know. Is this true? It says, how old were you when you found out that rubbing chapstick all over your Scantron will never mark it wrong?
I don't know.
That's ingenious if that's actually true.
What's a Scantron?
Oh my God, remember you're that old.
You never took a Scantron test?
Is that with the bubbles? Like that you fill in
with a pencil, number two pencil?
Oh, right. And so you just rub chapstick over it and it will always be right?
That's what he's saying.
I just snopes it. Nope.
Oh, then I should unfollow this page.
This
page is full of crap.
Forget about it. Gosh, thank God for Snopes.
Who's doing this? They're messing with our minds.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you would have walked up to your teacher in high school and handed her one? And it's like, what's all over your Scantron sheet? Nothing. My lips were dry.
Yeah, and nobody would ever suspect that anything went wrong when you got every single question right.
Yeah. I mean,
hopefully somebody was smart enough to actually not Scantron and not do that to everything. I got to tell you about this guy. He's paying $1,500 a month. That's not a lot of money. Of course, it is if it's just because it's for two cats to have an apartment.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, he doesn't live in it.
Right. Here we go, Rat.
The cats have an apartment.
To this house.
Yeah, themselves. $1,500 a month. Yeah. I'll tell you all about this situation at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. I got a video you got to check out on the BJ Migs page of KISW.com. It's this guy in Silicon Valley, California. He pays $1,500 a month so the two cats can have their own apartment.
His name is the Reverend Fuego.
Yeah.
Man, 1500 here would be a really nice place, but in Silicon Valley, is that like a one bedroom or something like that?
Well, 1500 where in Seattle would be a really nice place.
Yeah. All right, maybe Tacoma.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, seriously. Fair enough.
Like, yes.
We are probably not as bad as San Francisco, but we're damn close these days.
You're right, yeah.
This is a 400 square foot place.
Oh, yeah, that's tiny. That's cat sized.
It doesn't have a bathroom.
Doesn't need one.
All right, that's about what you would pay here in Seattle as well.
Yeah. Well, I guess they don't need a bathroom when you think about it.
Yeah, cat boxes.
Yeah.
Is it one of those shared, like almost it's like a dorm room? Aren't they building those in West Seattle or already built them where you're sharing a bathroom?
Oh, the apartments?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I do not like that idea. I suppose if you're young enough, you have no problem sharing bathrooms with people like that, like it is a dorm.
That was like the best part about finally being done with living on campus. Oh, I have a bathroom to myself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to ever go back to that.
So here's the thing. These cats are this guy's daughters. And she couldn't keep her in her college dorm, which makes sense. He couldn't keep him in his place because they don't get along with his dog. So he decided, here's what I'll do. I'll rent an apartment for him in the most expensive real estate market in the country, San Francisco. And like I said, 400 square foot place with no bathroom, $1,500 a month. Here's the landlord talking about this.
He says, I have nowhere to put these cats. I said, well, you know, I got a room. I've been thinking about renting it. He says, hey, what if I paid you to put my cats up? I said, what? Like, what do you mean? He says, just all the time. I'll come visit them, and I live close. And I said, sure, no problem. So I said, you know, why not? So we stuck them in, and they've been great. They live in there. We come see them. We feed them. We keep them there, and they just love their loving life. They're living large. Yeah, I don't rent to cats or anybody else. I wanted to rent to somebody, and I probably ultimately will end up renting the place to somebody. But, you know, this market is so expensive, and people, you know, care about their pets as much as anything else. You know, they're part of the family. There's two cats, Tina and Louise, very cute cats, and they just stay there.
Oh, Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
How do they, but...
I was thinking Tina Louise from Gilligan's Island.
Oh.
Oh, well, I wonder if that's...
Age difference.
Yeah, if it's his daughter's cats, it's probably from Bob's Burgers. Because Tina and Louise are probably the best characters.
But hold on a second. I think Steve's onto something. I wonder if the creator of Bob's Burgers actually named them Tina and Louise after the Gilligan's Island Tina Louise actress.
Maybe, because Tina originally was supposed to be a boy.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know.
It's very coincidental. I think Steve's onto something, and Vicky, you're right. This guy, I don't know if they named him that way because of the Bob's Burgers show. More likely they did, but I bet the characters themselves are because of Gilligan.
All I know is back in the days of me being an apartment manager, I would have much rather rent an apartment to cats than some of the humans that we rented these places to. Cats aren't going to bug you.
No. Nope.
Cats aren't going to clog up the toilets. Yes, I'm talking to you, two ballet dancers that clog the toilets all the time.
Really?
Oh, my gosh, dude. Talk about two women that were hot as hell when I first moved in that became the most unattractive women I've ever met in my life because they never knew how to unclog a toilet, so I'd have to go in there and...
The ballet dancers are making it happen, huh?
Oh, for sure they are.
Wow.
I didn't know ballet dancers could drop the kids off like that.
Well, these two did.
Damn. Wow.
Cats aren't going to probably play loud music at night?
No, they
won't. Stomp on the floor, so you don't have to worry about making sound above you.
Cats are nocturnal. If they're big ones, like, damn it, Carl, he's a big guy, and I can hear him running across the house. Like, it's a pain in the ass.
Although, what would that smell like?
Cats?
Yeah, I don't know how you rent that out to somebody. I would never want to rent a place that was rented just to cats.
It'd be great if the cats also brought a pet. And they're like, what's the pet deposit for this mouse that they're bringing?
Nice. So, and I went to IMDb and looked at the trivia for Bob's Burgers. Tina and Louise are named for actress Tina Louise, best known for the original Ginger Grant on Gillian's
Island. Wow, look at
Island.
Steve.
Good job, Steve. Yeah.
And once I heard Tina Louise, I'm like, oh, that's funny. Gilligan's Island.
Awesome.
I need to watch Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, you do.
Bobby.
It is really, really, really good.
Yeah. And I have a question. This guy says that he was renting it out. He expected to rent it out to a human being. And he wants to probably rent it out afterwards because unless all of a sudden he becomes the cat guy, like, hey, I've got a great cat place for you people. It doesn't have a bathroom. How does he charge $1,500 a month to be a person to rent a place with no bathroom?
Look up how much those apartments are going for in West Seattle. I think they're about $1,200, $1,300
a month. So then they're using his bathroom in his house. That's what you're imagining?
Oh, no. I'm thinking that there's a shared bathroom in this apartment complex.
Oh, I read the article and it's in his backyard.
Oh, then
maybe
house or something.
Yeah, and so
maybe this isn't really an apartment, and he's just renting it out for these cats.
Yeah, so that's what. But the way he was saying in the his own audio, he was like, "Oh, I'm going to rent this out to others and whatever."
You're right? Yeah.
It's like, how do you do that without a bathroom?
According to Apartments.com, Seattle's small apartments rent $885 a month.
Huh.
Refundable security deposit, $250.
But you get shared bathroom at least.
It looks like it, yeah.
Yeah. See, this one, I mean, I don't know. Maybe this has a shared bathroom. It doesn't say that. It says it just doesn't have a bathroom.
I feel like a lot of these are for people who are moving in from another city or another state, and their house or apartment isn't ready yet, so they live here temporarily for like a month or two until their place is ready. At least the apartments.
I wouldn't be surprised if some people, that just becomes their home.
Yeah.
Do you then share a kitchen? Is that how this works?
Huh.
Yeah, I guess so. Because, I don't know if it's got a kitchen either.
Take a look.
How often are the cats cooking?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Probably microwave most of their stuff
nuts.
Anyway.
Yeah, usually.
Wow, $1,500 a month, no bathroom, I guess no kitchen. Wow, that's a lot of money. You just get a storage.
Yeah,
but you're not allowed to live in those places. But hey, you know what they say? You can't live in a storage cube, but maybe the cats can.
Dude, though, I know there have been times back in the day where I had a practice space for music, and when we used to have one down in a Pioneer Square area, there was a couple of people that were living in their band rental space. They were there all the time. You could tell, like, they were coming back from the bathroom with their toothbrush, and then you start talking to a couple of them, like, it's expensive to, A, have a practice space, and B, have an apartment, so I just said, screw it, for the time being. It wasn't like a long-term thing, but for a short-term kind of a way to go.
Well, they discourage people from doing that with their office space, too.
Have you seen, I saw online, somebody was saying there's also a trend of people that rent out a spot in a house. They don't even have a room. They just, like, couch surf.
I hooked up with a guy who made his room out of the closet.
Yeah.
Wow. So he's basically Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I mean.
And it was cheap.
One of the first places I lived was in Wallingford, and it was a four or five bedroom home that we lived in. Really nice house, but there was about eight of us that lived there. Hmm. So two of us lived in the basement, which sucked because I'm 6'3",
and the
ceiling was about 5'9".
Okay.
Oh, man.
So I had like this weird hunch for a while because that's just how I had to get by. But my room wasn't even a room. It was just in a basement. I had a bed in the basement. I was paying like $200 a month, if that, maybe even $150.
Wow.
And my buddy Todd, also in the basement, but he built his own little fort, Vicky would appreciate. Like, he set up a bunch of stuff, created his own little wall, and basically turned it into like a cave.
Oh, wow.
And that was his room.
Wow.
And so the two of us lived down there. Then there was a guy who was living in the garage, and he was practicing to become a monk, so he didn't speak to any of us.
Okay.
Not kidding.
I believe you. It's just...
He wanted to see if he could become a monk, so he wanted to practice first.
How long did it take?
For as long as I lived there, he never spoke.
Wow.
Neat.
Must have been your favorite roommate.
Okay. He was a super nice guy.
Because he didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything. Well, you like people that don't talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Steve's best friend.
I don't know what happened. Maybe he's a monk now. I don't know what happened, but that was what they told me. He's just... It was like a sitcom. They're like, hey... I can't remember his name. Al, let's just say. Al's not going to say anything to you. He's practicing to be a monk. Like, okay.
I wish cameras followed you guys around, or at least based a sitcom off of you guys, because that'd just be hilarious. He just kind of hangs out, but he won't say anything to you. Don't mind him.
Wow, I never had any of that in my life because I didn't do the living on my own thing.
Oh, the best moment ever was when someone finally moved out of one of the rooms so I got upgraded.
Upgrade.
Oh, right.
The monk guy was fine in the garage, and the other dude was happy with his nook in the basement. So then I was next in line, and I finally got a room with a ceiling. It was awesome.
How much did the rent go up for that?
Oh, gosh, yeah, doubled.
Oh.
It was like $300.
It was worth it, though. Yeah.
You can't even find anything like that now. I remember when I first was out. Moved out here in like the late 90s, U District, you can find like a place for a couple $100.
Yeah,
not anymore.
No,
it's nuts.
Now you got these apartments.
I'm looking at one in Capitol Hill, and it's about $1,085 a month, and you get like a tiny little kitchenette with like one of those tiny refrigerators. Like, it's not even a full like refrigerator, it's the small guys, and a bed and a desk and a chair at no extra cost, but for $1,085 a month.
Yeah, I shudder to think what would happen, like to rent a house on Mercer Island, because that's what I did when I first got here. We always, whenever we bounced around the country, I said, well, at least I can do is find a place with a good school district, and that way at least the kids will get a decent education. And that's why we moved to Mercer Island. And when we got here, rented a place, you know, it was costly, but nothing like it must be now. I wonder if you're talking $3,000 to $4,000 to rent a house on Mercer Island. I wonder. Yeah.
How crazy is this? Someone says, I remember that house, Steve. Free beer, Todd. I sold him my drum set.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, Todd was a great drummer.
Did he talk much?
Todd was awesome. Ran into him at Summer Meltdown last year, or 2 years ago.
And what was the last time you saw Todd before that?
15 years?
That's nuts.
That blew my mind because I was wasted on the river. Oh, and all of a sudden, I thought almost it was like an image in my head, like, he's not really here.
Yeah.
It's just it's the ghost of Todd.
Oh, that's wild.
But it was Todd.
Yeah.
And we talked about Primus. It was pretty sweet.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, you know what? When you're stoned, yeah, sure. Or wasted, or whatever you're on, you know, there it's a lot more pleasant.
I was frying on acid, BJ.
No, I'm kidding. I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. I don't know what the heck. Baby aspirin. I don't know what the hell you were doing.
No. Psilocybin.
Yeah. Okay, I think one of the hottest shows on Netflix, I think it's Vicky's show. Is there, Vicky, do you watch that Tidying Up show with Marie Kondo?
I binged it one day.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, my wife binged it too.
Okay, so I don't know how much of a guy thing this is.
I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
What is it?
Probably not. Tidying up with Marie Kondo.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
No. She's adorable.
It's all about decluttering. Mm-hmm. And didn't she have videos or something? And then Netflix
YouTube
said,
series, yeah. And books.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, this is like a passion project for her. She loves this stuff.
Well, and I can understand why. There are a lot of people that dig it. I mean, you know, Vicky binge-watching it, your wife binge-watching it.
It's kind of like Hoarders, but it makes you feel good all the way through it instead of you just feeling really bad about the people.
I feel like my wife would dig this show, too.
Oh, she would love it. She's very sweet. She doesn't make you feel bad about the things you accumulated. It's not about necessarily having a dirty house. It's about organizing your house and being thankful for the things you have and thankful for the things that you're getting rid of.
It would be great, though, if after she's done with each episode, she goes to, like, a therapist and just loses her mind and needs slobs.
Right? Well, there's parts where they're like, oh, we bet your house isn't this messy. Well, my house gets messy, too, sometimes. We're like, BS, lady.
And I'm just looking at a picture of her. She does. I mean,
she's tiny.
She looks anime adorable. You know what I mean? She looks like a living anime. She just has that look on her face, like she's just so bright and cheery.
And she is.
Oh, yeah. She's very sweet, always smiley.
Wow. Well, I can understand then. You know, I can understand why she's popular. She's got a great look. And according to this new survey, there's this whole trend of tidying up and decluttering. 87% of people say that they have actually gone through a process of decluttering at some point. I just recently did.
What'd you get rid of?
I got rid of everything. And Uncle Chris, of course, you know, who helps me out with that stuff, he might have been the recipient of a lot of it. You know, I got rid of all my comics.
I know. I got some of them, actually.
Yeah, I got rid of all that. I thought I'd be a magician again. I haven't done it since the kids were toddlers.
You didn't get rid of your magic.
I got rid of all my magic.
You made it disappear.
Wow. I made it disappear. I thought to myself, I said, because, you know, I'm getting older. I also have seen older people because, you know, the people I know are getting older.
I see old people all the time.
I mean, look, Carol Channing, a lot of you don't even know who the hell she is, but she just passed away. And I mean, I remember her as one of the big stars of my life growing up. So I'm starting to feel my own mortality. And I want to lighten my load. Like a lot of philosophies say you lighten the load in your life if you get rid of all your stuff. I mean, it just seems more and more. And then this decluttering trend, I think, really has that sort of, if you will, spiritual aspect to it.
Until there comes the moment when you go look for that thing and you forgot you got rid of it. And now you're like, after that move from Linwood to Puyallup, man, there's been a few moments where I'm just like, I should have taken more time and been a little bit more careful about the things I got rid of. I'm pretty sure I got rid of my Pearl Jam, those Christmas annual fan club singles.
Ooh. Oh, man. Well, that's a thing I wouldn't
want to get
rid of.
And you'll never get that back.
Well, I mean, yeah, I could drop a couple $100 on eBay, but I was talking to my buddy Craig, who's a big Pearl Jam fan as well. And I'm like, I think I lost those in the shuffle.
Oh.
And I read that, like, you know, the very first one with the Let Me Sleep, It's Christmas Time and all that. And he's like, yeah, those go for a pretty penny now. I'm like, it's not about even owning them. It was just the experience of knowing that I was part of it from day one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not like I need to have them again. I've heard the song plenty. I have it on my iTunes, but it's still a bummer. I've lost that memento.
I can appreciate that.
I honestly think you might like this show, BJ. You and your wife are going to dig it.
I got it. You know what, Vicky? Would you send me an email?
All right.
Because, I'll send an email. My wife and I are always looking for a good show to watch. And you're right. I mean, we used to, it would bring back memories because we used to watch, HGTV when we were younger and, getting into, let's start our family house stuff. And so it would be kind of fun to sort of have that moment.
She's all about, find the objects that spark joy. So you hold something, you hold every individual item. And if it sparks joy, makes you happy, keep it. If it doesn't, you get rid of it.
Okay,
she is the cutest freaking thing. You might actually like it because you're into this whole new age of positive thinking.
It sounds way too hippy dippy for me.
It's really hippy.
But she's adorable, so she gets, she can handle it.
I'm holding this Sharpie.
Does it spark joy in you?
No!
No, no, no!
You're
doing the process wrong, Steve. You're supposed to thank it and then dispose of it politely.
Yeah,
politely.
You just gave it the toss.
Politely, Steve.
I missed that
is
part.
Not the condo way.
Wow. Can I get my Sharpie back?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get it.
It's too late. It's not. It doesn't want to come back. You weren't polite to it.
Wow. It doesn't. You don't spark joy in it.
No.
Wow.
This coffee mug doesn't spark joy.
Oh,
don't throw that. Don't throw that.
Bye, Vicky. Neither does Vicky's dome, apparently. Oh, yesterday, Mr. Joy over here, he did get this one right.
According to the Bible, what did God create on the fourth day?
Oh, me.
No.
Yeah. The stars and the heavenly bodies.
Oh, jeez. No. Well, yeah, but... Ugh.
I enjoyed it only because Rev was just disgusted.
Yeah. Yuck.
And that you got it right. So he was disgusted that you got it right, too. Okay, so look. There are some things that Steve doesn't know. Maybe you do. So call in now for your shot at beating Steve. 206-421-ROCK. We're going to play Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. If I call Travis, will I actually see him or someone who works for him?
Absolutely. When you come in to see my office, when you first call in, my staff will try to help you with any basic questions that you have. I can give you a call back, but they'll usually try to schedule you for a free consultation with me, the attorney, and I'll meet with you personally. We'll talk about the basics of your case, and I'll take you through a question and answer session that usually an interview that usually lasts about 30 minutes. We'll get the basics of your financial situation. I can answer your questions, and we can talk about whether bankruptcy makes sense, your non-bankruptcy options, and how bankruptcy could affect you, what the process is.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.